another week, another Tuesday, another episode of the College Tribe Podcast. I, of course, am your host, Austin Price, and man, we've got a loaded slate to talk about. I don't think it's going to be anything strangely lengthy. I don't think it's going to be anything like that. But nonetheless, there are several headlines swirling around college football today, and we've got to dive right into them, starting with the AP Top 10. New Top 10 came out. I looked at the Top 25 as a whole. It wasn't really anything too shocking. A couple of the bottom dweller teams fell out, you know, and that's always bound to happen week in, week out, especially so early in the year. A couple newcomers came in as a result. But when you really looked at the meat of the polls, there wasn't really much changes. I don't think really much of any teams moved more than one or two spots. The top story really was Texas taking the top spot. That's easily the top story of the AP poll after this last week. The top 10 is now Texas, followed by Georgia, Ohio State, Alabama, Ole Miss, Tennessee, Missouri, Miami, Oregon, and Penn State. That's your top 10. I touched on this AP top 10 about a week or so ago, and I said the top half is pretty good. Bottom half, once you start bleeding towards six downward, it really starts getting fuzzy because I understand why the teams are there, but at the same time, you look at guys like Miami, you look at Penn State, based on how they've played this year, and really Oregon has played this year. They're not contenders, not until further notice. And that's really the main thing I've noticed here. That image has not changed. That's takeaway number two. Texas being number one is takeaway number one. Takeaway number two is that the AP poll is still half and half. You got Texas, Georgia, Ohio State, Bama, and sure, we'll throw Ole Miss in there. They haven't really played anyone, but, you know, they've looked very good against who they've played, got a great season, got a relatively accommodating schedule. They're teetering on the line of, okay, tough enough to get love for doing well in and making a playoff spot with, but not insurmountable, right? So Ole Miss is teetering there. Number six, Tennessee. Just hasn't played anybody, really. They played NC State. I give them credit, but NC State has been so disappointing. We'll get more on them later. Missouri, they squeaked past Boston College. Once again, more on that later. Miami just has not played anyone. Beating Florida means so little. And the only few teams that mean less when beating the snot out of them is FAMU and Ball State. That is all Miami has to their name. And they are eighth. Then we've got Oregon, who, as I said, they just beat up on Oregon State. Hey, quality win, rivalry win, whatever. But beating Oregon State doesn't make you a contender. So I haven't given my trust back to the Ducks yet. And then Penn State, I think they're coming off a bye, so they haven't done anything to redeem themselves. And I think that's one reason they're really sitting at 10. I think they dropped a couple spots despite playing no one. Okay, so I wanted to touch on this. Texas topping Georgia. I have not seen much pushback against that decision, and I'm very happy to report on that. When you look at Texas, have they played anyone? They played a good team, Michigan, on the road, tough place to play, defending champs, beat up on them. That's great. Does the win mean a ton? No, it's clearly not the same Michigan team that we saw last year. We knew that. They just struggled with Arkansas State, I think it was, more than they should. They struggled with Fresno State earlier in the year, more than they should. So Michigan isn't really winning any awards for how great they look right now. But nonetheless, early in the season, Texas goes to the Big House and demolishes. I mean, really embarrassed the Wolverines on their own turf. You got to give the Longhorns credit there. Not only that, but they've played weaker competition. I think they got ULM this weekend. Say what you want about the strength of competition, but at least they're playing them like they should. We said that about Georgia. It's like, hey, Clemson's not a contender anymore, but you beat them like you should. Hey, Tennessee Tech, beating them means nothing, but if you demolish them by over 40 points, really no one's going to bat an eye, right? You'd have to like really look bad for anyone to have a takeaway from crushing Tennessee Tech. Your problem is you faced Kentucky and won by a single point. And you see people trying to justify it, just trying to lay the groundwork for a counterargument. Oh, well, Kirby Smart, he always struggles in Lexington. I'm not saying he doesn't. Oh, Mark Stoops, he's a great head coach. Kentucky, he's made Kentucky so good. I'm not saying he's not a good coach. I'm not saying Kentucky's not better off with him. But what I am going to say is, Kentucky is a basketball school. Their football program still lacks. And their past couple seasons have been barely positive, 7-6. But I'm supposed to look at Georgia, who's supposed to be some unbeatable team until further notice. I'm supposed to look at them and give them a pass because they struggled with the Wildcats by 1 point and only scored 13, mind you. No. I'm sorry, Georgia, you don't get a pass. And these are weekly rankings. We're talking about the top team that week. You weren't the top team that week. So, who's number two? Texas. Texas has a quality win. They haven't struggled with anyone. Welcome to the top spot, Longhorns. Alrighty, so just wanted to get that out of the way. Haven't seen much pushback against Georgia dropping. I think a lot of Bulldogs fans are kind of taking their lumps on that. But nonetheless, props to the AP voters as well. We always hear about SEC bias. We have seen it on several occasions in the AP and the committee, of course. But when it comes to this, they did not cut Georgia any slack. You got to appreciate that. Alrighty, now, let me take this to the state of Florida. Of course, we got to keep this relatively local at times. This is the College Tribe podcast brought to you by ESPN Pensacola. Pensacola's in Florida. You see the connection we're trying to make here. Alrighty, looking at Florida, who's the best team in the state? Miami, right? I think we can all agree on that. Who's second? UCF? They just squeaked past TCU. TCU wasn't a bowl team last year. UCF just beat them 35-34. UCF is 3-0, and their resume is so weak that they're still unranked in spite of it. And they are the second best team in Florida? Because it certainly ain't the Gators. It certainly ain't FSU. We're going to start with the Gators because I'm going to use Florida State to segue into the ACC. I've got a lot to say about the ACC after this weekend. So we're going to start with Florida. I don't know how in the world Billy Napier still has a job. I have zero clue as to why this man is not at a job fair this evening or tomorrow morning. Why is this guy still here? It does not make any sense. He lost, and not only did he lose, he got beat up by Texas A&M in Gainesville. Wasn't it 20-0 at half? 20-0 at half. To a team that barely finished positive and has a new head coach on your own home field. Mind you, Miami and Texas A&M were supposed to be go-either-way games. How have you gotten beat up? You were lucky it was 33-20 by the end of it. Texas A&M allowed you to make it look closer. It's inexcusable. There's no reason for Napier to still have a job today. We're going to touch more on him later. Because, of course, Florida State, they both got pretty pivotal games this weekend. So we're going to touch on that when we look ahead to this upcoming weekend. But we're still looking back. We're still in the rear view. So let's shift over to FSU's loss to Memphis. Oh, my goodness. All right. FSU, you heard that right. They were hosting Memphis, Group of Five team, coming off a bye week at home, as I said, Tallahassee. Trying to avoid what would be, I think, their third 0-3 start since the mid-70s. And they not only lost, in the second half, they were down 20-3. I can't believe what we're seeing. And I think I asked it last week. If you can't beat a Group of Five team coming off a bye week in Tallahassee, where's the floor for you? Who the hell can you beat? That's really the question surrounding Florida State. Who can you beat if you can't beat Memphis in Tallahassee after a bye? I know Memphis is good. I'm not trying to take that away from them, but they are not Florida State. On paper, they are not Florida State. By coaching, they are not supposed to be Florida State. By level of formidability and playability, they are not supposed to be Florida State. When you go into Tallahassee, you are not supposed to best Florida State. As a Group of Five team in Memphis's place, in their position, you are not supposed to beat up. Forget beating. You are not supposed to beat up Florida State. It's ridiculous. And Memphis did it anyway. Florida State's 0-3 anyway. It's just, oh my goodness. Where's the floor? It's so low. You host an unbeaten Cal. The only reason I'm even humoring you in that game is because Cal's only statement win is Auburn, And Auburn just may not be that great. And even then, Cal barely won. Numerically, at least. It was 21-14, wasn't it? So I don't know where Cal's limits lie. That's the only reason I'm giving Florida State the time of day in that game. Now, I get worked up because not only is it pathetic, but I'm going to bleed into some issues that surround the entire ACC. Florida State was just one piece of the puzzle. The ACC, this is where part of my emotion's coming from. The ACC has often been, especially recently, has often been clowned, talked down to, as not even a power conference, right? It's one thing to be a weaker power conference, but it's another thing to be like, you're not even on our level. That's just a different form of insult. That is such an insulting form of disregard. But I got to tell you, after this last week, I can't say that those criticisms are inaccurate. You don't believe me? You think that's a bit of Austin drinking the hater Kool-Aid? You think that's a bit of an overreaction? Listen to this. Not only did Florida State, who was supposed to be a favorite in the conference, not only did they get beat up by Memphis, Duke struggled to beat UConn. That's not a basketball headline. That's a football headline. Duke struggled to beat UConn. NC State struggled to beat La Tech. That was a 10-point game. UNC, the Tar Heels, woke up late to pull away from NC Central. How many games have you played yet? You've got multiple games under your belt. Like, how many games have you already played? This wasn't season opener. You had beaten a Big Ten team on the road with your quarterback getting hurt. You've got that experience under your belt. You're struggling to pull away from NC Central, for a good portion of that game. You haven't woken up yet. That's what I was trying to say earlier. I said, how many games have you played yet? You haven't woken up yet. That is just embarrassing. Clemson, I think, had a bye week. They're still riding high on their win over a Sun Belt school, App State. Woo! Congratulations, Clemson. I didn't know that became the standard. Va Tech defied odds by beating up on Old Dominion. I'm not saying the spread wasn't for Va Tech. I'm not saying people are surprised they won by 20, but people humored this. It's like a trap game for Va Tech. And you couldn't say that was unreasonable because Old Dominion's had Va Tech's number a couple of times. And then, oh my goodness, we've got to touch on two important statistics here. There are two teams in the top 20 from the ACC. Did you know that? Two teams. Miami is 8th, as we already discussed. Louisville is 19th. Miami, I've already told you, they haven't played anybody. Louisville, if memory serves me, has played and beat up on Austin Peay and Jacksonville State, an FBS newcomer. This is their second year at the FBS level. And they took a step down from last year. Those are the top 20 teams that are ACC affiliated. Miami and Louisville. One of them's 19th. The best team combined amongst all of them is Florida. That's the best team they've beaten. Miami, that's their best win at Florida, who's unwatchable, has a losing record, coach is on the hottest seat in America, and Louisville hasn't even played anyone of that status. The toughest opponent amongst both of them combined is Florida. And then you want to know, this is just a gut punch. The best looking team in the ACC this last weekend, you know who it was? It wasn't anybody that I just mentioned. It was Boston College because they were a pleasant surprise in that game against Missouri. I tipped my cap to BC. I think most people did because they gave Missouri a scare. Missouri, mind you, in the AP poll is number 7. In this current poll, they are 7th. They went to a top 7 team. I want to say they may have been 6th. Going into the game, Boston College went to Missouri and only lost, I think it was 27-21, only lost by 6. That Boston College was the best-looking team when it came to how competitive you were against a quality opponent, and they lost. When the best team in your conference is a loser, it's an ugly conference. And then we're going to mention these guys. Oh, boy. Wake Forest. I don't get to talk about Wake Forest often. I try to avoid talking about them often. I'm a Wake Forest fan. I've disclosed that on this show before. I don't want to talk about them too much because no one cares outside of me, and I don't want to take away from any journalistic integrity, but Wake Forest actually did something this weekend, or went viral for something this weekend at least, that is very noteworthy to what I'm talking about right now. So as you know, Wake Forest, they just played Ole Miss, and they lost 40-6. I was kind of impressed that Ole Miss didn't let us get a touchdown, but outside of that, I don't think the score is really anything too surprising, especially if you don't follow either team. I think 40-6 seems rather accurate. But my thoughts on the game itself aren't what's important. My thoughts are on the headlines that came out after the 40-6 result. Wake Forest pays $1 million to remove Ole Miss from their 2025 schedule, just hours after their 40-6 loss to the Rebels. Now, you had people coming out saying, whoa, 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 that headline's misleading. Wake Forest bowed out of the game earlier in the week, so before the result, yada, yada, yada. Man, to me, it doesn't matter. You got some people saying, oh, this just proves how scared Wake Forest is of the mighty SEC. I can assure you right now, geezer, that is not why Wake bowed out of this game. I think it's a problem much bigger. I know the SEC wants to pretend that it's just some untouchable giant, but I want you to know that coming into the Ole Miss game last weekend, Wake Forest had won their last four games against SEC opponents. The last three had been decided by double digits. A couple of those had been in bowl games. So in the last 10 years, Wake has kind of, dare I say, owned the SEC whenever they've crossed paths. Not only that, but Wake, back from the 2000s, had a 2-0 record all time against Ole Miss in particular. This is not a matter of Wake being afraid of Ole Miss. I mean, heck, they played them just last week, didn't they? This isn't a matter of being afraid to play them. I think this is a matter of Wake Forest knowing that it can't compete in this current level of college football. Forget the SEC. Just college football as a whole. Don't believe me? Listen to this. Wake's upcoming out-of-conference schedule had Ole Miss on the road. Then it had, and this is not in order, Kennesaw State, Western Carolina, and Delaware. Kennesaw State just became FBS this year. Delaware is slated to become Group of Five, I think, just behind Kennesaw State by a year or so. But I think right now they're still officially FCS, and Western Carolina is FCS. It's a cardinal sin for a Power 5 or Power 4 program to play more than one FCS school. Heck, a lot of fans would prefer you don't play any. Wake Forest next year is going to play essentially three. And the one out-of-conference opponent that was not going to be a little guy was Ole Miss. And Wake just paid $1 million to not face the Rebels. Mind you, Wake has to pay money to face Kennesaw State in Western Carolina and Delaware. So they're buying wins and bribing themselves out of losses, bribing their opponents to avoid losses. And Wake is doing this for four games. That's a third of their regular season schedule. Wake Forest is in a position where they're like, hey, we're just going to buy our wins. And I think this is because of something commentators mentioned during the Wake Forest-Ole Miss game. They said that Ole Miss and Wake Forest are in very different spots as programs today in this college football hierarchy. Ole Miss has the brand, the boosters, the pull to get big-name talent to come to their school, dominate early, start early, shine early, win now. Wake Forest doesn't do it that way. Whenever you hear about a star player from Wake Forest, it's a fifth, sixth-year senior. And if it's not, they transfer from Wake Forest. They go somewhere else. Because Wake doesn't have the pull, doesn't have that win-now culture. Not only can they not have it, but if they had the opportunity to, I don't think Dave Clawson wants it. Wake Forest is not in a position to exploit stuff like that like Ole Miss can, like Alabama can, like Ohio State can, like Texas can. Not even other ACC schools like Florida State and Clemson. Wake can't keep up with them. So I think Wake is looking at this and saying, okay, if we can't buy big-time players or craft some big-time roster for big-time games, then we're just going to remove the big-time games as often as we can. That's how we'll succeed. We don't need some star QB to transfer to us. We don't need to be flooded with transfers and just start dominating everybody out of nowhere. We don't need that anyway. We'll just call up Kennesaw State, Western Carolina, Delaware, and we'll just feed on the weak for a month. I honestly think that's how Wake Forest is trying to roll, especially when you consider their standard of program. And when you're already an underwhelming team in an underwhelming conference, and that conference is hanging by a thread because Florida State and Clemson are banging on the door to get out, it's just such a bad look for the ACC. It's a brutal look. This is, for optics, this is the worst the ACC has ever looked. People can say what they want about the conference dialogue, the conference, you know, conversation regarding where each one ranks and how ACC is this much weaker than this one and yada, yada, yada. You can say whatever you want. It's never been this bad. It's unbelievable. I'm sorry, but thank goodness we got a 12-team playoff, because 13-0 Florida State, if you think you were gypped last year, you wouldn't even be sniffing a 4-team bracket this year. With how the ACC's looking, if Florida State or anyone else were to go unbeaten, you would not make a four-team bracket. You wouldn't do it. If last year's any implication, you would not sniff it. You'd be lucky to be top eight. I mean, oh my gosh. All right. My throat's hurting. I got to get off that soapbox. We'll hop on another one. Looking ahead to week four, we've got UWF in West Alabama. UWF coming off a bye week. Family weekend hosting the UWA Tigers. In regards to quality of opponent, West Alabama was the only opponent who had no business beating the Argos last year. That's what made this game kind of interesting. I want to say Argos finished with four losses last season. One was in the playoffs to Delta State. They lost to FAMU, who's a successful D1 program. They lost to Valdosta State barely. And Valdosta State's obviously a successful D2 conference rival. It's a whole thing. But they lost to West Alabama 10-6. West Alabama enters this season coming off of back-to-back non-winning seasons. So that was very puzzling. But, you know, nonetheless, it happened. Now the Tigers are off to a hot 3-0 start. And that's making them far from pushovers. However, the Argos aren't pushovers either. And they are out for blood. And they do have home field advantage this time around. So I'm going to say, give me the Argos. I'll say 31-21. That's the first game we'll look at for this upcoming slate of college football. On a more national scale, the top games of week four, we'll touch on some of the Florida-based teams. UCF is on a bye, so the second-best team in the state of Florida, they're going to have to wait to get their exclusive coverage. But some of these other ones here, excuse me. Florida at Mississippi State. Mississippi State just lost at home to Toledo, 41-17. A shame to their conference. But get this, hot take. My hot take of the week is that Florida is going to go into Mississippi State and lose. I say a low-scoring game, probably around 22-20, and this is kind of a callback to what I said earlier. This is where we're going to see Napier lose his job. I was thinking, how is this guy still employed? It makes zero sense. Looking at Mississippi State, there's no excuse to lose to Mississippi State. You had an excuse to lose to Miami. Oh, they're preseason ranked. They're a rival. It's season opener. You had a reason to lose to A&M. Oh, they've got a new head coach and he's successful. And, you know, Texas A&M, they have a relatively quality loss and they're trying to bounce back and yada, yada, yada. And they've got such great talent year in, year out. Mississippi State doesn't have the talent of Miami or A&M. Mississippi State doesn't have the head coaches that they've got, the quarterbacks that they've got. Mississippi State doesn't have that. Mississippi State just got beat up by the Rockets, a MAC squad. If Florida falls to 1-3 and loses to the Bulldogs in Starkville, bye-bye Billy Napier. That's what I think is going to happen. Then we've got Miami at USF, in-state matchup here. USF has a quality loss, Alabama. They do have home field advantage, so this is kind of an interesting game. Miami, this is the best opponent Miami's faced since Florida. That should tell you how weak Miami's resume is. So I think Miami is going to unsurprisingly win convincingly. And I think they're going to have people thinking all the more that there's something for real. And I just don't see it yet. I'm not saying it's not going to happen. I just don't see it yet. I'll take Miami 41-13. I say they win convincingly. And that, like, it really gets people on their hype train because that would be a better win than what Alabama had, you know? So that's really going to get people in on the Canes. And I'm sure it'll come crashing down slowly but surely. Then we've got Cal at FSU. I said, I don't know why I'm giving FSU the time of day. I don't know why. It's nothing because of them. It has nothing to do with them. I hope that they are able to establish a bit of a deeper passing game and trust a deeper passing game, because there were glimpses of it, man. In the second half, there were glimpses of it against Memphis. If you just let it, if you let it blossom, maybe there's something, some consistency that DJ can have with this offense. Oh my. I think that combined with what I said about Cal earlier, they just haven't really wowed me. I'm going to take Florida State to win. I can't believe I'm doing this. Mark my words, if Florida State loses this game, which I think they will come close to doing, but if Florida State loses this game, out of sole principle, I am just going to pick Florida State to lose every game for the rest of their season until they win. I mean, that's really what I'm going to do. I've got them hosting Cal, though, right now. I've got them hosting Cal, winning 27-23. So those are the games happening in the state of Florida. When it comes to national games here, we've got, as far as nationally relevant, ranked teams, yada, yada, yada. On Friday, we've got number 24, Illinois, at number 22, Nebraska. These are two overrated Big Ten teams. There, I said it. Nebraska's at home, tough place to play. I think they're a better built team than Illinois. They're going to win, but barely, 30-27 Huskers. Then we've got number 11, USC, at number 18, Michigan. Once again, Michigan's good. USC's good. I think USC's more good. I think they struggle in Ann Arbor, but I think they win 32-24. I think Lincoln Riley's offense is going to carve Michigan up a little bit, and I think they're going to escape a relatively tight game. 32-24 is one possession. Number 12, Utah. Number 14, Oklahoma State. Big 12 game. Boone Pickens is a tough place to play, but Arkansas almost won there, so it's not insurmountable. Utah, man, they're another team that's really up there, and they're winning a lot of conversations in the Big 12 favoritism poll. Public favor really falls towards Utah. I'm just not as convinced on them. I need to see more from them. I'll say Utah wins, but I got it being another close one, 34-30. Tennessee at Oklahoma. That's number 6 traveling to number 15. Oklahoma, tough place to play. It's going to be the toughest game and toughest scenery, toughest quality of opponent for Tennessee all this season thus far. But Oklahoma has limped to a couple of finish lines, right? They only beat Tulane by a couple scores, struggled with Houston the week before that. It's going to be a tough game. Tennessee's toughest. But that doesn't say too much. I don't think Tennessee is going to have their first run in with a fellow quote-unquote contender until the third Saturday in October when they take on Alabama. But I think Tennessee can ball out here, kind of expose Oklahoma. I mean, as I said, Houston and Tulane have already kind of done so. But I don't know. I think it could happen. I think they could like full-on expose them, loss, convincing loss, send them plummeting. Houston couldn't do that. Tulane couldn't do that. Tennessee's good enough to do that. I'll take Tennessee 41-24. I think they convincingly beat the Sooners. I think the Sooners are still a good team. I'm not sold on Tennessee yet, but I think convincing win, that's going to really get the Tennessee hype big for that leading up to October and the Alabama game later on. And I think it's going to humble Oklahoma because I think they're not taking their game seriously enough. You can't struggle with weakling competition, group of five competition. You can't do that. Then we've got, let's see here, got our upset alerts. I've got two. Georgia Tech at Louisville. If you heard what I said about Louisville earlier, if that has stuck in your brain at all, you know why I say that they're on upset alert. Because Georgia Tech, first of all, is a decent team, a scrappy team, but Louisville has not beaten anybody. So of course they could lose this game. Absolutely they could, especially if they're not even as good as they were last year. So I look at Louisville, I'm like, not only can you struggle here, you can lose. I don't know if I'm going to take Georgia Tech. I may take Louisville by a score or two, maybe two, and say, okay, well, you know what? That's going to validate Louisville for the time being. but they're still going to linger on the lower end of the polls until somebody tougher comes along. I think it may be one of those situations, but do not be surprised at all if Georgia Tech wins that game. Then we've got number 13, Kansas State at BYU, late night game in Provo. Okay, now that one could also be a just not even a struggle win, straight up loss. Provo, Utah, late night, Cougars are unbeaten, got a ranked team, conference opponent coming to play. That is intimidating. I would hate to be in that setting as a visiting team. I think K-State's riding very high because they just beat up on Arizona, but Arizona was looking fake. And K-State has looked fake this season. So I think they're riding high after a ranked win that didn't mean nearly as much as they thought. I think they could overlook BYU here. BYU could be out for blood, out to make a statement, out to get a ranking of their own. And I think they could take on the Wildcats here. And really, I mean, I'm not going to say like some, oh, going to put them in the dirt. But BYU could definitely scare them, if not beat them. So we're talking about two upset alerts here that, once again, not only struggle wins, but could be downright losses for those top 20 powers there. You've been listening to the College Try Podcast. I'm your host, Austin Price, as always, right here on ESPN Pensacola, 99.1 FM, 1330 AM. Check it out on the ESPN Pensacola website, local podcast page. You can find all the episodes there. We'll see you next Tuesday. Good night, everybody.